The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
If you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to share this morning a topic entitled, How to Minister Deliverance to Yourself. This is a closing out of a deliverance conference here in the March of 2003. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I trust that at the end of this sharing, it's not terribly long, he said hesitantly. I trust at the end of this you will understand, listen, how to minister deliverance to yourself. Now, if you're listening to this tape and the whole concept of deliverance bewilders you, well, I encourage you to look into it. And we have a lot of material that can kind of give backing on the legitimacy of deliverance for the believer. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't see deliverance as legitimate for a believer, but it is. I've got a lot of material out there written. Can a Christian have demons? And like I said the other day, Christians cannot be possessed with demons. Period. If you're born again, you cannot be possessed of a demon. Can I hear an amen? You're bought with a price. There's a part of you, Jesus Christ, lives in, the enemy can't enter. I believe that. But the Greek word in the New Testament is demonosomai, which means to have demons. We can have unclean spirits in portions of our personality. We can. And yet in other portions of personality, you can exhibit a godly, gentle, spirit-led, spirit-filled behaviors. But there are portions that can be demonized. So along that line, I want to talk today about how you can move in self-deliverance. Because frankly, as you receive a lot of deliverance in your life, hopefully you're receiving deliverance, ultimately God wants to teach you how you can cleanse yourself. And there are scriptures going to show you in a minute to cleanse yourself. Now, you know, if your battery is dead in your car, and usually you need, it's the generator, am I not right? When you're running the car, the generator is recharging the battery? Alternator, forgive me, I knew that. Okay, so what you need to do instead, first you need to get another car over there and you get jumper cables. You recharge your battery, you got to jump, then you can go on. But ultimately the idea is you have something in the confinement of that automobile that will keep that battery charged in and of itself. So sometimes folks come here, they need to have to pull their car up and have someone put jumper cables over and minister deliverance. We need brothers and sisters to lay hands on us and to recharge us and come again. Because a lot of times when you're in severe bondage, you don't know where to begin. There isn't much anointing or much faith in you to take authority over these things. So you need some people to minister over you. Like this sister, a couple of these ones that have shared this morning, you know, I'm certain now there's a new level of faith. There's been some release, there's been some freedom, there's been some joy, and now the enemy can't quite succeed in the way he did, because it was, I know, in my own life I've received some significant deliverances by people praying for me, and I have the faith. I know how to recognize these things and take authority over them as I sense them manifest. But I've needed prayer at times with others to clarify it, to separate myself from them but ultimately God wants to teach us how to cleanse ourselves. Now I want to lay out a premise before we go into this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is a classic scripture. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is a foundational scripture that shows that man is threefold, not twofold. Psychology in the world will tell you what man's the makeup of the human is, body and soul. But we're told here it's not. It's spirit, soul, and body. We're three-part man created in the image of a three-part God. And the truth is that you have a human spirit inside of you. But you know, we don't know that until you're born again, because frankly, before you're born again, your spirit, for all intents and purposes, is dead. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Whatever is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. And so your spirit must be reborn. When Christ, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of the forbidden fruit, you shall die. And they did. They died. What died? Not their body. He went on to live many years. What they died was their spirit. So for all intents and purposes, they could not communicate with God because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Spirit communicates to spirit. Well, their spirit was dead, so they were cut off from communication to God. So God instituted all kinds of ordinances and practices and sacrificial rites to approach back into his presence. Finally, Jesus Christ provided a new and living way right into his presence, and he provided an opportunity for our spirits to be reborn. The Bible literally says born again literally means born from above. That's what the rendering really is. Born, so our spirit becomes alive, and we reconnect and we communicate God to God by your spirit. Now that's important to understand, that your communication to God primarily is by your spirit. Spirit to spirit. Can I amen? We're born of the Spirit as we pray in the Spirit, as we worship in the Spirit, as we learn to move in the Spirit. We're in fellowship with the Spirit God. There's one verse that really lets you separate between soul and spirit. By the way, that reminds me of Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of what? Soul and spirit. So there's a separation that has to occur. And the verse 1 Corinthians 14:14 really illustrates that. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, when you speak in tongues, that becomes the evidence of something inside of me that is not my soul. It's my spirit. When I speak in tongues, my spirit prays, it says, but my understanding is unfruitful. I literally know that I have a spirit. I found out this morning that I had a spirit. I stumbled into the bathroom to brush my teeth, and as I was reaching for the toothbrush, I was speaking in tongues. And right there, my spirit was beginning to pray to God. There was a separation. I've learned the first thing I need to start doing in the morning is get in the spirit. Because I found if I don't get in the spirit in those early times in the morning, going in my quiet time and stuff, the brain kicks in. And what the brain begins to do is think thoughts, and that's very dangerous. It begins to think, well, today is Sunday, and this and that could happen. Of course, if that happens, then this could happen. And, oh, Lord, if this happens, then this could happen. Oh, no. And this is that. You know, before you know it, you're way down over here. Y'all don't have that problem? Okay. Well, I do. So I've learned the best thing to do is run into, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous what? Run into it and are saved. First thing in the morning, get filled with the Spirit. Start off right. Can I have a man? Learn to pray in the Spirit. Worship, it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And making supplications to for the God. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. So, it's essential that we learn to get in the Spirit. And so there's a separation that occurs. And what happens is then, as you get in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, guess what? Your soul then becomes subject to your Spirit. Your mind, your emotions are subject to your Spirit. And you're not as knocked around by stuff. Then you find out somebody did this, and this is going on, and somebody failed you, disappointed you, and this happened, and you're frustrated because this could have happened, and it didn't, and blah, 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 blah. You know what? All of a sudden, if your soul is under your spirit, you take it calmly. But if your soul is above your spirit, you're freaking out. Oh, you know, you're like sitting on one of those racquetball courts, and you don't have a paddle. You know, you're just being dodging balls thrown at you. Ever had a day like that? That's because you didn't start off in the spirit. So what happens is then you get all demonized and kind of crawl up to somebody and say, will you lay hands on me? And they pray for you and prayer it separates you, you just pray in the spirit and you get your strength back. Am I making sense this morning? That's a part of deliverance. In fact, I've said many times, casting out a demon is no problem, it's keeping them out. I have a booklet back there entitled, I keep forgetting the title of my book, because I need to write it down on here. How to keep demons out? How to keep them out once you cast them out? And these are none of the principles. Casting them out's not difficult. It's keeping them out, and that's discipleship. That's discipline. That's learning to walk in the Spirit when everything inside of you wants to do something else. Now, listen to this carefully. In our spirit, we're God conscious. In our soul, we're self conscious. In our body, we're world conscious, as it were. And your spirit is very sensitive to your soulish behavior and your bodily activity and worldly influences. Your human spirit is like a finely tuned barometer, if you can figure that. Very sensitive instrument that's very sensitive to things around it. Alright? Your spirit is, and it can easily be grieved. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit is typed as what kind of a creature? Not a butterfly. That's Microsoft. No, the Holy Spirit is typed as what? A dove. Butterfly. Sandalabari satanam. Yeah, really. He got a new computer. He's all excited. One of those PCs, you know. But anyway. Dude, you got... Where was the anointing? It was here a minute ago. The dove... You know, the dove... I think the reason the Holy Spirit is typed as a dove is because it's a very sensitive creature. I mean, they're very... You don't just go, hey, dove! I mean, it's out of here. You know, you need to be very gentle. You need to be... And you know, the Bible talks about you can grieve the Spirit. Right? Grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit of God. I think it says that in Ephesians 4. Well, you know, your human spirit is the same way. It's a very sensitive barometer and can be easily grieved. Here you are praising Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Your spirit is filled. Out of your belly is flung living rivers of living water. You're rejoicing in the Lord. You're feeling, and all of a sudden, this thought comes in your mind that's just, let's just say it's an unclean thought. Now, would you agree that if you begin to dwell on that thought, what's going to happen to your spirit? It's just going to clam up. It's like you've cut off the water flow at the source. So, listen carefully. This is all has to do with self-deliverance. I want you to hear this. Your spirit must stay free and unencumbered and light and buoyant. Otherwise, it's grieved and it'll bring down your soul and body. That reminds me, I have another booklet back there written. What's that about the unencumbered spirit? The Secret to a Free and Unencumbered Spirit. Another recently written. And it really lays out this principle. You need to have your spirit free and light and unencumbered. And when your spirit is light and free and unencumbered, your soul and your body, your soul will stay subordinate to it and you'll stay healthy. Because when your spirit is predominant, your soul is subordinate to it, you mean your mind and emotions, you're not being, you know, driven with thoughts and driven with emotions and stuff, then your body more than likely is at rest and at peace and less likely to get stressed. Less likely to get all stretched out and subject and vulnerable to infirmities or to pick up transference diseases from other people. So, look at Proverbs 25:28. So that's the premise I want to start with. It's essential that you keep your spirit free and unencumbered and light and buoyant. A lot of times, the reason we need self-deliverance is because we haven't done that. We've gotten all tied up in a knot. We're all soulish and caught up in our emotions and caught up in our thinking and frustrated and things are getting jammed. It's like all of a sudden, so maybe you get up and your spirit is like cruising down I-10, you know, where there's no traffic. Or cruising down 45, there's no traffic, you know, just cruising down speed limit. And all of a sudden you hit what? A traffic jam. And it's stop and go and... cars are overheating. Some of y'all know a little bit about that, huh? And that's how our brain is. We're cruising along the spirit. All of a sudden, bam, we hit a problem. And we're in stop-and-go traffic, and we get aggravated. I mean, you know, it's not even good for your car, these types of things. It's just frustrating. And that's how life is. But, you know, when you're in the spirit, when you're flowing in the spirit, even those kinds of things won't rob your peace. Proverbs 25:28, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now think about that. In the old times, they had a big wall around the city. That's what protected them from their enemies. To have no rule over your own spirit meant that anybody could come walking in. You know, the enemy, you've seen these stories of like in the Middle Ages, they'll have a big moat around the city, right? They have walls, and the enemy has to kind of, you know, lob rocks in there and build a mound to try to get in. But if the wall went there, the enemy just walk right in. Well, you know, if you don't have rule over your spirit, anything can come, just bats in the belfry, just float right in. In fact, look at 16:32. Turn there. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. He literally says, if you can rule your spirit, that takes more energy, effort, and wisdom than to take a city. To rule over your spirit, to not let stuff rule over you. I made a note here. Listen to this. If you're not living and ruling from your spirit, then everything else is going to rule you. your emotions, your feelings, your appetite, your desires, your lusts, circumstances, situation, other people, and their demons are going to rule over you if you're not ruling over your spirit. Look at 18:14. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now look at that. A wounded spirit who can bear. Is that how your versions read? Well, that in that context, you know, there's a, I think it's in Psalm 51, says, a broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise. Okay, in that sense, but that's not what this is referring to. This is talking about a wounded spirit. This is talking about a crippled, a grieved, a pressed in, a crushed spirit who can bear. In other words, when your spirit is weighed down, crushed, heavy and weighted, you know what? Your mind, emotion, and body doesn't have a chance. You know what I'm saying? When you can debilitate somebody in their spirit, it's almost like they've abdicated. Whereas you've heard of people that have a strong spirit, but maybe their body, they're real sick, or maybe they're going through terrible trauma, but because their spirit is strong, they can endure. That's what it says here, Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of man can keep strong. If your spirit is strong, you can endure anything. Now, the reason I'm saying this in regard to ministering deliverance to yourself is this principle. To effectively minister deliverance to yourself, you must learn to discern the state of your human spirit. I'm going to say that again. You must learn to discern the state of your human spirit. You must recognize you have a human spirit and learn to discern the state of it. And the most important thing you need to do every day is maintain equilibrium in your human spirit. That's the most important thing you need to do. You need to not let stuff get on your spirit and weigh you down. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn to come to Jesus. Lay stuff at his feet. Just this morning, we're sitting back there, and I'm standing back there, and we're praying and worshiping, and I'm worshiping, and all of a sudden I thought of something. It wasn't a major deal, it was just a pastoral issue situation. And it came into my mind while I was worshiping, and it bugged me. Does that ever happen to you? You're worshiping, and something comes to your mind, bugs you, and you're not worshiping anymore. You're sitting there thinking this, and then you go, oh, Lord, forgive me, I'll just put that at your feet. So I worshiped, and it came back and bugged me again. It did it like three times. Okay, I'm worshiping, and then I'm thinking about this. No, good to you, Jesus. Okay, Lord, it's your deal. No, come on. Does that happen to you? So about the third time I'm looking at it, I'm saying, and I've learned one thing, all these years with Jesus, I've learned, when I stare at it, ain't nothing going to change. Have you learned that yet? As long as I'm staring at my navel, they call it navel gazing, ain't nothing going to change. And I can stare at it all day long, because I've learned when I give it to Him and leave it to Him, sovereign things happen. So I'm looking at it the third time, and that's that. I thought, Lord, this is stupid. I have not released this to you. And then I did this. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't do that before. I said, forgive me, Lord. This is not my issue. You're the pastor. I'm not. I take orders. It's your deal, not mine. Now you let me know what to do. I ain't going to worry about it. Do you know what? It didn't come back. Is that cool? It just went to peace. Now, I hadn't even thought about it since then. Now, right now, thinking about it, I'm thinking, it's his deal. You know, let the place go to pot. It's his deal. I'll go tell him, you know. I'm serious is the way I handle it. I mean, I have problems. I just go to Jesus, lay it at his feet. I said, don't put it on me. Sometimes I feel like Moses who went to the Lord and said, oh, man, I can't bear this people. You know, what do you even make me bear all these people? That's our reading right now in the one-year Bible. You know, I can't bear all these people. You know what the Lord said? He didn't say, no, you gotta. He didn't. He said, well, gather 70 men of the 70 of your rulers, and I'll divide the weight of it. And he took a lot of the burden off of Moses. Am I right? Spread it around. And Moses was rejoicing. So the Lord, you know, sometimes something gets a little bit heavy to bear. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that what? Heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. I got a little all the time. Lord, I can't bear this. It's bugging me, man. Rob my peace. Here, it's your deal. And I just say, Lord, it's your church. I say that about this conference. Friday night, I knew that three people were coming. I knew that. We'd done a lot of preparation, but I knew for sure three people were coming. We knew three. And I told that. I think I told that to my wife. I said, well, I know three people will be there. I said, that's okay. We'll do it for three people. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, we've done a lot of preparation. A lot of stuff's going on. And I know three people are there. And if you want anybody else here, you're going to have to bring them. It's your conference. It's your people. It's your deal. Whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. And God's faithful. Amen? 1722. Now, don't let slumber hit you, please. Some of y'all are kind of spacing out and slogging out here. I know we've been through a hard weekend. This is an important principle. The enemy would not have you hear what I'm going to say. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit in this room of slumber. We're going to learn a principle on deliverance. Satan does not want you to understand something about deliverance. I take your power, Satan, and I bind you out of this room. Now leave these people alone. Go. Lord, come. Wake us up. Maybe I need to turn the air conditioner a little lower. Keep us awake. Look, the enemy doesn't want you to hear about deliverance. How many of y'all like to go to the dentist? Well, Hallie, you don't count. You know what? I don't like to go to the dentist, but sometimes I got to go to the dentist, right? Sometimes I got to go to fix something. Sometimes I go to prevent something. By the way, if you don't go to the dentist to get it clean, you're not on preventive maintenance. Well, you know what? Sometimes we don't like to sit and hear things like this. Something in us said, it's pretty day out there. You know what? This is preventive medicine. When I preach the word, I'm giving you something practical you can take and use. Okay, now we're just, let's just look into the Holy Bible and look at a Bible verse. No, man, I'm giving you something you can use tomorrow, today. So stay awake. 1722. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Again, that speaks of kind of a wounded spirit. Now listen carefully. At all costs, don't ever let your human spirit get to this place. You'll get sick. An overcome spirit is an invaded spirit. When your spirit is overcome, then you are invaded. Something will invade your life. When something is crushing you, when your spirit is not strong, the enemy is strong. When demonic spirits operate in the soul, they seek to distort the normal operation of the spirit. Now, I'm talking about how to minister deliverance to yourself, but I'm laying a premise here. When there are demonic spirits operative in the soul, they seek to distort the normal operation of the spirit. They know if they can crush or oppress or layer themselves or snuff out the power of the spirit, they got you cooked. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of water. The first thing the enemy wants to do is like beavers building a dam. Get in, start building a dam so the water won't flow. So what they try to do, look at 14:29. This is what they... He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. My margin reads short of spirit. You know, one of the first things the demonic tries to do is to push you, to cause you to be driven. Drivenness, hasty, strain, stretched, short, quick-tempered, hyperactive, constant nervousness, ongoing anxiety, non-stop thoughts. These are symptoms of demonic spirits. When you see, God wants us to know the normative operation of the spirit. That when you get up in the morning, there's nothing particularly pressing on you. You pray in the spirit and you get still. That's why quiet time is so important every day. You get still. You got to get still. He leads us by what? Every day. You got to learn what still waters are. Some of us have been around, you know, wavy water. What do I want to say? Stirred up water for so long, we don't know what still water is. So we think anxiety is the norm. The Lord wants us to be submit to His shepherdhood, be led by the green grass and by the still water, and learn to sit by the still waters. Be still and what? He speaks how? In a... Okay, quietness. So you need to learn the norm of the Spirit. The norm of the Spirit is stillness, quietness. That speaks of trust. You start the day like that. Still, quiet, in charge. Your spirit is at peace. When your spirit's at peace, it's easy to bring your mind and thoughts and corral them. That verse says, taking every thought captive. The only way you can do that is get your spirit at peace. Do it from the Spirit. That will keep them in perfect peace. What? Whose mind? How do you do that? By getting in the Spirit. Just get away from your mind. You can't do it inside of the mind. You do it from the vantage point of the Spirit. And when you understand the normatives of the Spirit, which is peace and quietness and stillness, and you can hear His voice, then when something comes along, you recognize that's not of the Lord. And the enemy's always trying to stir you up and get you anxious and troubled and frustrated and driven and hyperactive. You know people like that. Drive me nuts. Get around people like that. Transfers. Those things transfer, man. We had one guy in church years ago. I mean, he just was, just could never get still. I mean, just, even when you talk to him, you know people like that? You want to go, stop! And then he'll go, it's going on inside. Stop! Be still, oh my soul. Amen? That's demons, man. That's just demons. It is. Crawling around inside of there. Ecclesiastes 7. That's right after Proverbs. Verse 8. 7-8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. He's talking about a hasty spirit is equivalent to a proud spirit, or a self-sufficient spirit. Many times, anxious impatience is indicative of hidden, undealt with demonic strongholds driving the inner man. Anxious impatience. More and more I'm learning, when I come up, I tell you, I'm a lot of y'all like me. I like when I'm in my car to get where I'm going. You know, there are only two types of drivers on the road. You know what they are? Huh? If they're moving faster than me, they're maniacs. If they're moving slower than me, they're idiots. Come on. Idiot, get out of the way. What are you, a maniac? Like, come on, you don't sit there so smug. You're the same way sometimes. We want, and I get in the car, and you know the Lord's always convicted me about that. Maniac, idiot. So what happens is, if you're in the Spirit, God's going to always put you behind some idiot. You know, just he thinks it's a school zone. I'm going, hello, it's 4:50. School zone's over. We're doing 21 in a 40. You know, you want to pass. And then the Spirit will speak to me, and I can sense Him saying, what's your hurry? You know, and so what I'm slowly learning to do, I ain't there. I'll say, Lord, thank you for this individual. Thank you. Bless Him, Lord. And let me be it. Or you come up to a stop sign, a light. And this route between my house and here, the church, I got like 16 different ways to go. Well, I turn left here, I come around there, and see, I missed that light. And that light's always red, and you turn right on red. Come on, you know. I mean, I got these things. But you know, I do that sometimes, and everywhere I go, it's jammed up. Jam, 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 jam. And I'm just learning, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because there's more opportunity to pray in the Spirit. And it's true. I was stopping a long line. The other day, I came up with this long line of cars. And you know, the thought came to me, no, I'll just get in that line, and I'll be at peace, and I'll pray in the Spirit. And it was good. I didn't freak out. You know, sometimes we just have to corral ourselves. Can you hear me, man? Come on. Am I the only one that struggles with this? I tell you, the most frustrating day. This was so frustrating. The day my mom died, I had lent Bo my car. I had her car. And he was at his house, and my brother calls me on the phone. And she was over at Park Plaza by the medical center. And he called me a couple times that morning. He said, she's not going good. And he calls me, he says, she is flatlined. Get over here. I looked down, my car's gone. I said, I'll call Bo. I said, Bo, drop. So about 6 minutes later, Bo, I don't know what you did to get over here that fast. He gets over. I run out the parking lot, jump in the car. I said, my mom's dying, man. I jump in the car. Well, wouldn't you know, it was school time. And I went down, what's this, Fairmont? And went down with Edgebrook. I mean, buses, school. I just backed up. So I went up Shaver. School, buses, people, stop. Jam. I'm going through neighborhoods, people. And I'm thinking, my mom's dying. I want to be there. And I couldn't get away. I couldn't get out of the neighborhood. I was jammed up everywhere I went. And I finally, actually, you know, I think it was the Lord. because she pretty much passed away. I finally got on the freeway and Sherry called me and finally did get out. But I remember thinking, you know, the Lord just wanted me to pray. And amen at her passing and pray and bless her. But sometimes this happens in life. We get driven. We get strained. We get all freaked out. We get all stressed by situations. And the Lord is trying to tell us, chill. Be at peace. I'm in charge. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now here's specifics on how to do self-deliverance. You ready? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Here it is. I'm going to give you some very practical examples. So, the main thing I wanted to say just now, main point, is you must keep your spirit at peace and learn to keep it there. And the best way to do it is start off first thing in the morning praying in the spirit. That's the no better way. Pray in the spirit. And if you don't pray in the spirit, if you don't pray in tongues, then I encourage you to get somebody to lay hands on you so you can. Did I share with the group about that phone call from California the other day? Some guy called me. He's known the Lord since the 70s. Just stumbled into deliverance recently. Called me one bunch of information. He'd been emailing me a few times. We finally talked. We were playing phone tag. Finally talked to him. When these people have a lot of questions, I said, give me a call. I don't type that fast. In fact, I got another email this morning from some lady says, dear Pastor Simpson, appreciate your ministry. I really need deliverance. Okay, set up a session. Yours truly, so-and-so, United Kingdom. I thought the lady lived in Deer Park. United Kingdom wants to set up a session. So I thought, I think I'll let one of you guys answer that one. I don't know what to tell the lady. You got somebody flies halfway across the world for a deliverance session. They're going to come with some kind of expectation. What if the Holy Spirit just has you say, well, you know, you just kind of need to deal with these things and repent. I've come 3,000 miles. It's these long-distance ministries. But anyway, this brother called me from California, and he was going on about all the demon this and what about this and all this. And you know what I ended up spending 20 minutes talking to him about? Why he needs to speak in tongues. And he wasn't defensive. He was open. But I spent 20, and I told him, I said, sir, all of this is kind of, elemental. It's just, what's the word? It's intellectual. If you don't learn how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have lame deliverance. I'm sorry. I'm being honest with you. I'm not going to be dogmatic. I think God can deliver you whether you speak in tongues or not. But if you want to walk in power and overcome, you need to move in all the gifts of the Spirit. Can you know what I mean? So I spent 20 minutes talking to this guy about tongues. Even though he called about deliverance. I said, because you get the first things first. Learn how to move and operate in the power of the Spirit. Because you can get delivered and they come back when Satan comes in like a flood. What? You better have a flood flowing out of you to come against him. The standard of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? That's Satan. What part is he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now here's the verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, you got to connect 7:1 with those passages, because that's really what he's saying. The reason you come out from among them, and then you clean the junk off you got when you were with them. People come out from among them, but they're still on them. You know, you can separate all day long, but you don't have to cleanse yourself. It's like Mama saying to Junior, come out from that mud hole in the backyard. Come out from among your friends that are throwing mud pies. Come out from among them. Come inside. So they come inside. Okay, now you're inside. That's half done, right? What did the junior bring inside? Half the mud hole. It's on his body. You've come out from among them. Now what? Now cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the mud hole. Perfecting holiness. Don't go out there next time right after it rains. See, your human spirit can pick up garbage and filth and uncleanness. The best allegory I can get of that is think of this word picture. leeches on a light bulb. Isn't that a lovely thought? Leeches connected to a light bulb. And that's what it is. The light bulb is your spirit. They can't get in it, but they're on top of it, and they're just sliming on it. And if you get enough of them, then no light going to come out. And that's what happens. The enemy wants to get on your spirit. He can't get in it, but he can attach. He can almost smother it with stuff. We pick up stuff. But just being out in the world, fellowship with people, fellowship with believers who say something worldly. And then the enemy enters in through open doors, poisonous suggestions, influences, feelings. Well, what this and that, and how about this, and why not that, and you this and that, and what about, and all these fiery darts come at us. So the answer is 2 Corinthians 7:1. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need a constant cleansing. Self-deliverance means to continually eject the unclean spirits one inadvertently or willingly lets in. That's all it is. It is to continually eject the unclean spirits you either inadvertently or willingly let in. Now let's consider the practical side of how self-deliverance works. You ready? Let's see. Wait a minute. That's not on my notes. Okay. So all my notes. Can I have it? Okay. You ready? Here's the practical side of when you know you need self-deliverance. When your spirit feels hasty and pushed and oppressed and driven and restless and bound up and tight, you need deliverance. You know what I'm saying? When your mind is anxious and confused and troubled and tossed and racing and dysfunctional. Now, I submit to you, often the mind is the product of something's attached down here. When you're wounded or something's binding you and you're down here and your spirit binding you, your mind is going to pot. And then your body, when your body is weary and tired all the time and aching and hyped up and restless and sleepless and sick, it usually is indicative of it starts down here in your gut. Something's kind of attached. You never dealt with it. It manifests in the mind. You're racing. You're frustrated. You're anxious. You're driving people nuts. People drive you nuts. What's wrong with everybody today? What is wrong with everybody today? What's all your problem? You know, they're fine. They're just the way they were yesterday. It's you. Come on. Some of y'all done that. Get out of bed, Sid. I just hate the world. You know, well, I love the world. It's people I can't stand. Yeah. And then your body, it hits your body. It goes from spirit, soul, body, you know, and all of a sudden you get these aches and old diseases and all these infirmities are coming back on you. You're worn out. You're tired all the time. You're burned out. Folks, it's indicative of the fact you never dealt with something somewhere. You know, maybe you just didn't want to forgive somebody. You're just hanging on to some right or something, you know. And what happens is the enemy comes in and fills a vacuum. You start feeling driven, something anxious, something's working on you, trying to get place in your life. Give no place to the devil. Get a place. So, that's what I have here. Okay, that's what this note was. It's time for deliverance. Here. It's time for deliverance when your human spirit is heavy, pushed, depressed, hasty, driven, and tight. As a result, your mind is probably restless, anxious, troubled, confused, and racing. And your body may be weary, restless, tired, sleepless, and hyped. That's how you know you need to move in deliverance. Either you need somebody to come lay hands on you and get deliverance, or you need to do some self-deliverance. Has anybody here ever experienced any of those things since last night? Okay, that's how you know it's time for deliverance. It's deliverance time. Okay, here's steps for self-deliverance. I'm going to draw this to a close, get you all out of here. You're the first. Here it is. You ready? This works. This is not some intellect. This really works. This is like changing your oil. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. It works if you follow the steps. It's real simple. The first is enter the Spirit. In other words, do self-deliverance from the Spirit. You got to get in the Spirit. Don't try to do it from your mind. Go, demon, go. I'm mad at you. I don't want you. Go. Go now. Hello? How many of y'all have tried that? Go, thought. Go. No, no. I don't want to think that. No, go. Go. No, no, go. You know, remember those paddle balls with the ball and the string? You know, just comes back. Go say, no, I had somebody once I was playing deliverance. Go, Satan, just leave me alone. Satan, leave me alone. Said, will you stop it? Satan's laughing at you. I'm sorry. Bull, you don't hate him. Can I hear an amen? Self-pity prayers don't get rid of the devil. Gotta get mad. Go! Yeah, that'll work. We're getting there. Well, that's in the neighborhood. Amen? Yeah, any of y'all ever get mad? Mad is good. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. Whoa, that's good. That's what hatred is for. It's not for the kids. No, it's not for anything. You know what? Hatred is a good emotion. Say that with me. Hatred is a good emotion when aimed at demons. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. We're to love our enemies, but hate his. Thou, O God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It says in Psalm 45 and Hebrews 1, for thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ hated. Hate evil, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Hatred is good when aimed in the proper direction. So, enter the Spirit. How do you enter the Spirit? Speak in tongues. Sing in tongues. No better way. Now, I'm going to tell you something true. Listen. Sometimes you're so bound up, wound up, tied up, frustrated, hurt, demonized, it fall off. Sorry.
Don't want to give away the rest.
That you may pray in tongues 20 minutes... and nothing happens. And this has happened to me. I just could feel all this, and I'll pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, and pray and sing in tongues, and I'm done. There's no anointing. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I have an answer for that. You know what it is? That's okay. Just get up, do your business, and come back later. It works. Don't be legalistic. Oh, I guess I'll never get prayed. The demons with me forever. No, just relax. Just calm down. You're just so bound up, it ain't going to happen right now. You just get up and come, determine to come back about 3 or 4 hours, maybe the next morning. Hello? Amen? Just get up, try it again. So you come back a couple hours later, find a little window, you begin to pray in tongues again. You know, I've found when you do that, the next time it's usually easier. Get it, amen? Sometimes we're just so bound up, we got to do it a few times. So here's the thing. First, you got to get in the Spirit. You know how you know you're in the Spirit? Peace. And a sense of strength that isn't you. A sense that I can do this. Through Christ, you strengtheneth me. Okay? That's how you get in the Spirit. And you pray in the Spirit. I found when you worship in tongues, singing really does it. Singing in tongues, singing, worshiping, and I get this peace. I'm going, oh yes. Oh, oh, yes. You know, like you're underwater and you just, oh. Yes, there it is. Peace. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Peace. The driving stops things. Okay, you're not delivered yet, but you're at least getting in the Spirit. The anointing is beginning to come on you. When the mantle comes on your shoulders, you can never cast a devil out unless you got the uniform on. If you're a policeman, you know, and you're off duty one day, and you're at home in your pajamas, and there's a traffic jam in front of your house, and you run out, and you start directing traffic in your pajamas, what's going to happen? You get run over. You go, oh, hello. His wife says, hello, honey. You're in your PJs. Get back in the house. And so he comes out with his, you know, Texas Ranger. Anointing that what? Breaks the yoke. So you got to learn to get under the spout where the anointing pours out. That's first. The second thing to minister self-deliverance, having gotten the Spirit, is to command firmly. Now, exercise your authority. You say, where is this in the Word? I'll tell you where it's in the Word. James 4, I think it's verse 7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And what? What is the first step? Getting in the Spirit means submitting yourself to God. Getting under the spout, getting under His authority, submit yourself to God. Get right with God. Get God on you. Then, resist. Command. Firmly. Clearly. We say around here, there's two steps. Two words you say to a demon, no go. I've found that if you're focused and persistent, there will almost every time be manifestations and phenomena. if you're focused. In other words, if you feel fear, if you've dealt with everything you can with the feeling, if you feel anxious, if you're feeling pressure, if you're feeling weighted, and you've already gone to the Lord, you've already laid at His feet, you know, and the Holy Ghost is kind of saying you need to forget. What are you? You basically let go of your rights, but you're still hung up. You begin to speak to that. Or if it's physical, if it's something manifesting on you, a physical malady, a familiar spirit, a familiar sickness, you begin to speak to that headache, speak to that ache, speak to that allergy, speak to that coughing fit, speak to that cold, speak to that sore throat, speak to that clogged up sinus, speak to it, speak to that fear. Speak to that lust. Speak to it. Command firmly. Say, you don't have to be fancy. Just say, lust, go. Fear, go. In Jesus' name. Go. And you know, by the way, you don't even have to say it out loud. You can do it in your mind. It's just clear commands. Go. Go. Now. Go. Leave. Leave my body. Leave my mind. Leave my emotions. Go. Drivenness. Anxiety. Go. Go now, in Jesus' name. Can you amen? How many of y'all been in a deliverance session? After demons begin to move out after a while, what is it you're just sitting there for about 20 minutes saying? Go. I did that the other night here. Remember there was real deliverance going on in the room? You know what I did for about 20 minutes? Come on. Go. Come on. Go. Come on. That's all I did. You know what I was doing? I was keeping the pressure up. Is that biblical? Yes. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Ekbalo. And he says, they lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. Cast out means to thrust out violently. That's the word in the Greek means. Ekbalo. I'm commanding the devil to go. I'm resisting him. I'm commanding him to flee. Go. Go. Now. You don't ask him. You don't beg him. You don't plead with him. You command him. In Jesus' name. Because you're the boss. You're the man. Or you're the woman. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And this is filth. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Cleanse yourself. When you take the garbage can, dump it out, and bring it back in the house. Don't sit there and just kind of pick through the stuff. Oh, do I want to get rid of that? What's this? Just dump it out and go back in the house. Get it rid of it. Are y'all hearing me? Go. I have unbearably felt sensed manifestation and phenomena. A lot of times I'll sit there and I'll do this, and I when I'm sitting in my chair and do this, I'll get all kind of phenomena. It takes a few minutes. All of a sudden I get pictures in the spirit. I see things. One time I saw in the spirit like an angel, and I prayed this for years since, an angel with a big bucket of blood mopping the floor. It was really cool. It was kind of a vision. Just swabbing the deck with blood. A picture like an angel was going through my imagination. He was swabbing the deck with the blood of Jesus. Isn't that a cool picture? And sure enough, when he was done, it was like my imagination realm was totally cleaned out. My thoughts were clean. It was just really cool. I've done that before and prayed this, just prayed, and all of a sudden I can sense in the spirit with my eyes closed, I don't know how to describe it, but things going, leaving, just lifting. And he says, or like a weight. Or like it was something weighty. He said, oh, it's gone. And then what comes is this peace. And it usually just settles in your head and goes back down your neck. I've had times I've been real tense in my shoulders. Go, go, go. You know, and the majority of spirits, about 98% of them leave like that. Because the word spirit is breath. Wind. And peace. Can I hear an amen? Whoa. I mean, once you learn how to do this, you go, why don't I do this more often? It's like taking a good shower. It's all it is. Cleanse yourselves from the flesh, filthiness of the flesh and spirit. All right, and here's the third step. You ready? Be ready for backlash. Second to last place we're going to look, Matthew 12. Here it is in the Word. Matthew 12, 43. This is what happens. Be ready for backlash. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, I want you to look at that carefully. Look at what I just read. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Do you believe these things really leave you? Do they really go out of you? They're gone. They're gone. That's how you know you're delivered. They're gone. They don't want to be in you. You're no fun. You're commanding them to go in Jesus' name. He walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. See, somehow these things, I don't understand what these things are, which is weird after being in it so long, but I don't. Got some kind of theological notions. But whatever they are, they love to be in bodies. They crave to be in bodies. They're not angels. Okay? Angels don't crave to be in bodies. Demons are different than angels. That's bipersonal theology. Now, I believe they're superiors, the principalities and powers are ruling. Yeah, I believe those are fallen angels. But whatever these things are that get thrust out and run around dry places, you know, seeking rest and finding none because they want to inhabit a body. Remember those pigs? Remember the time that Jesus was going to cast these demons out of this guy? And well, how about the pigs? I mean, we can't be in a people, we can be in a pig. Because they weren't expecting the pigs' reaction. Pigs just sitting there, you know, growling, doing whatever that pigs do, a couple of hundred thousand of them or something, just, you know, being piggish. All of a sudden, these demons get at them. Pigs go, bleh! They just take off, kill themselves. What then? Demons are disembodied again. Well, maybe then they report their superior. It was maybe less threatening to be cast out of a pig than cast out of a person. I don't know. Seeking refuge, he said, I will return to my house. It's interesting, verse 44, he says, my house. They're very possessive. They see you as their house. From whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds the house empty, swept. In other words, there's a welcome sign out. He says, wow, look at this. They cast me out. But look at this. Place is empty. I thought they cast me out to put something in it. Rooms are still open. Cool. Come right back in. Gets on his cell phone back to the place. Hey, y'all, come on down. This place got lots of room. Goes, he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Enter in and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. You know, you got to be careful. You can't continue foolishly in the activity that may have brought the demon in. You have to be sincere with your repentance. Can I amen? Don't do this unless you really want to repent. Don't just get them out because they make you miserable and then go right back wallowing. You remember Solomon says, as a dog returns to his vomit, or he says, as a pig was washed, returns to wallowing in the mire. That's in 2 Peter. He says, so it is a man that goes back into the behavior that he was delivered of. So you've got to really, you got to say, Jesus, I don't want this anymore. Now, you know, you're human and I'm human. And it may be there will be a time in the future that you will fall into whatever it is that brought those demons in. Yeah, you will. But you know the answer is to be quick to repent. Just immediately say, Jesus, forgive me. I don't want to do that. It's not my heart. I hate it. And do more self-deliverance. You know, the more you do that, the quicker you do it, you'll lose the heart for it. You don't want to do it anymore. It's just wallowing in it. It's sitting there going, well, I guess it's hopeless. I'm kind of giving over to this. This is my weakness. See, whatever it is, then the demons just roost in. But if your attitude is, oh, man, a just man falls, what, seven times and rises again. And God looks at your heart. If he sees you hate the sin, even if you fall into it, he quickly redeems you. He quickly puts you back on your feet. You don't wallow in it. You're just forgetting the things behind. Forgive yourself. Go on. Don't sit there and stare at your navel. Say, why didn't I sin? I can't believe I sinned. Who am I to sin? Give me a break. It's pride. Of course you sin. You're scum. Who do you think you are? Guilt is pride. Guilt is pride because guilt is, I'm amazed that I sinned. Give me a break. Of course you sin. Just forget to quit focusing on the sin. That's what the cross is for. Jump up and press in and put the devil behind you. Get thee behind me in Jesus' name. And you'll find that you'll quit falling. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? Okay, in the last comment, last place we're going to look, Psalm 34. Here's one other comment I want to make about self-deliverance. It's real important. You ready? This is really important. Listen. This is one of the most important things I'm going to say today. If you're commanding those things to go, and they don't go for whatever reason, then you can bind them. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound. Do you understand? If you can't get them out, then bind them in Jesus' name. You say, Satan, I bind you. I restrict your activity. I forbid you to continue to torment me. I wrap you with chains. You cannot continue to actively move inside of my body or my soul. And you're chained until such time as the anointing is here to cast you out. You do that. Either cast them out or bind them. Don't go in there and, you know, rattle their cage and walk away and don't do something. And that's a mistake I've experienced. You go in there and you start kicking at them, tell them to go, and they don't come out, and you say, oh, well, walk out. Well, you done made them mad. They're going to go, well, I'll show him who's, you understand what I'm saying? So if you're going to enter into war, it's like anything else. If you enter into war, if you're either going to take the captive or bind him up so he can take him later. Don't be a fool. This is warfare in the spirit world. And these are real things, real beings that you learn to take authority over. Are you hearing me today? In conclusion, Psalm 34, verse 1. We'll close with this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I love these verses. Look at this. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all. That's a good word to underline. All my fears. They looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. There he's delivered from a deeper fear. You know, there's fear and then there's shame, right? And then finally, fear, shame, and the big one is this poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. There it is. Starts with the fears, delivered from the shame, and then everything. You know, God has blessed you and I, folks, listen, with powerful gifts of the Holy Ghost. Last night I was talking about the anointing that God has for us is exceeds the anointing that was on Elisha's life. We have no idea. It's not even entered the heart of man, the things that God has. But it says God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And so the reason God gives us all this powerful gifts is so that we can use it to keep ourselves clean and pure from all demonic infestation and bondage. Can you hear an amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Was that helpful? Practical? Lord, I pray that you'd take this truth I just shared and you would seal it in our mind, not let the enemy pluck the seed out of our heart. This is very practical. If you can apply this, walk in this, you will experience significant shifts in your problems in your life. You'll no longer get caught in those old ruts, those old emotional strongholds. By golly, praise God, you can enter into an abundance of life. It's just taking up the weaponry that you have, taking up the authority that Jesus has given you. Give us wisdom, Lord, wisdom in the Spirit.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.